Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. It's Wednesday night, and you are listening to the Stop Child Abuse Now, NASCA, Blog Talk Radio Show. We are on scan number 2918, and also just so everybody knows, the guest call-in number is 646-595-2118 if you want to call in and support our guest tonight, and I look forward to hearing from you. So this evening, we have a very special guest, as they all are, Bob Mazzullo, and I'll have to double-check that with him when I get him on the line, from Washington, and I think that might be him on. So I'm going to just go ahead and take care of a little bit of business first, and then we'll bring him on and start the night. So I also realized that I wasn't saying my name in the beginning. So my name is Kim Lincoln, and I look forward to being with you tonight. So we have a single purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and we do so with two goals. One, educating the public, especially as it's related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing childhood abuse to be a worldwide pandemic and worldwide problem that affects everyone. Offering hope, number two, is offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involved in prevention, intervention, and recovery. So again, my name is Kim. We are on scan 2918 this evening. And Bob Mazzullo, I think, is, let's see if this is him. I'm going to bring him on and see. Hi, is this Bob?
Yep, this is Bob.
Hey, I'm Bob. Hi, my name is Kim. I'm the host this evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'll give you a heads up. I work with my client and her spouse. I'm a caregiver here in the Seattle area, so that they know about this happening, so I'm doing it from my phone, so that I'm excited and nervous about it. But then again, since I've done this before, this is not unusual for me to feel this way. So that,
right.
So I'll be going back and forth because I'm giving them their dinner. So that, because it's 5 o'clock here. So
okay.
That, we're six. Yeah. But I have a question for you then, Kim. How long do you want me to give the presentation? How many minutes?
Oh, you have like, so this is what we usually do, is we usually just have you start talking about, like, you know, why you came on the show and start a little bit with a brief summary of your childhood years. And then we usually kind of break And then we'll, you know, we'll have a panel. So I have my co-host here with me tonight, Nancy, and we may have others call in to ask questions.
And my wife's
so,
name is Nancy.
And, oh, okay. That'll be easy to remember then.
Yes.
So, and then we'll go on to, like, the second segment, you know, what's changed, and then maybe, you know, go into, like, how your healing process is going on. So, really, we just talk with you for, it just have a conversation, like we're sitting on your couch for an hour and a half. So, we have a whole hour and a half to go through stuff, and so I want you to feel comfortable. Why don't you get something to drink and just kind of relax, because you're going to do awesome. And
actually, what I'm doing is I'm working so that I'm feeding my client, my spouse, my client or spouse.
Okay.
And, an interesting thing about them, they are married, just celebrated their 60th anniversary, and they have been foster grandparents to over 200 kids in Washington State in the past.
Oh, that is a huge.
That's amazing. Sometimes when you work in this field, you meet some amazing people.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. And it's so nice of you to be helping them. Bob, you want to just start? I was reading your biography here, a little bit about what you sent in, and it, you know, you've got 12 siblings. That's a lot of siblings.
A couple of them were babies that died in childbirth. So that my youngest brother just died a few weeks ago. I was down in Southern California for the funeral. In fact, when Bill contacted me, I told him about that. And then also, I had time with family and friends to deal with it. And I know where my brother is now. He's now with God. So that, because he was very special to all of us. And it was a shock. It was a heart attack, 62 years old. So that, But we're making it through. So I keep in contact with my family down south. And my wife and I are going to be down there again. We are already scheduled to visit in June. It's important for us to do that for that reason, to keep in contact with family.
So how many siblings do you have alive now that you keep in contact with?
Oh, actually, well, my wife and I have been married now. I met her up here way back in late 2000 when I was a Catholic priest. So a member of a Catholic religious community, the Dominicans. And things happened, and I've left the priesthood, but I'm still considered myself a married priest. And her adopted daughter had children, so that we are grandparents. I love them, and they gave me the title Papa, and I knew what that meant. That says something. They call her Nana, so that I know what those mean. That's either mom or grandma and grandpa, or papa is. It's a term. Both terms of endearment. They are very special in our lives, and that Nan keeps in contact with the two oldest ones, who are now 21 and 19. I don't see them that much because the 21-year-old is moving. His dad moved to Florida a few years ago, so he's going to move to Florida with his dad. And our 19-year-old is now living with her biological parents. And that Van sees her but that every so often I go with her to see her, but that I can't say where she is, because to the grandkids, they will tell their mom, and that so that we have to keep it hush hush. The two grandsons, we're very active with. They spend more than half the year with us.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's how important they are. And they put their computer skills put mine to shame.
We need them around for that, just alone. Don't
yes.
We? I've got.
They spend the weekends with them all the time. When they're with us, they're all the time on computers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's their life. Either on their phone or on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got.
And my wife is also.
But they're not that old. They're still younger. I've still got little ones.
And my wife and I are doing something neat. She has been a coach for Challenger League Baseball, which is a form of little league for kids about 10 to 12 years old who are physically or developmentally challenged. And that, so I am an assistant coach, and that it's not like regular little league. They just play two innings. Everybody gets to hit, everybody gets to field, and they're doing it just for the fun of it. And it's wonderful.
Aww. That's awesome. That sounds like something fun.
In fact, while I'm talking right now, she's at the game. She has a game at 6 o'clock, so that I can't make it. But that, so that I will hear about it when I get home.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So, does she have another assistant coach when you're not around?
Yes.
Can't be there with her?
The parents of the kids are very good at doing that. They come with the kids to help them around, and that the last batter in each inning gets to hit a home run. And I'm being in Seattle here. There was an announcer named Dave Niehaus who was died a few years ago. Very suddenly, had been announcer for the Mariners since they started. And whenever a Mariner hit a grand slam, he'd say, "Break out the mustard and rye bread, Grandma, it's grand salami time." So when the kids hit a home run, I say that. And parents remember him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Am I excited? Yeah.
Yeah, and then you build a bond, I'm sure, with them. You're just...
Yes, we do.
And
awesome. one of the kids last year, when he came up, I was being the catcher for the team afterward, and he came up and looked at me and said, "Are you Nancy's dad?" And I roared, and I told our pitcher, and I told Nancy, and we both laughed because it was something a kid they would say. And I didn't take offense.
Yeah.
So I've shared that story many times, but that's all what the kids are like. They're wonderful.
Yeah. And they do. They just say what's on their mind. They don't know if it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
They don't care. They don't. They're going to say what's on their mind.
And I said, "No, I'm her husband." So that, but still, I share that story many times. It's fun. It's a memory that I always have. And Nancy and our picture for the kids, we laughed at it because it was something they would say. And it was not I didn't feel offended at all. So that tells you something about me, too.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you do just kind of have to laugh at yourself. It's just the way it is.
And from my youth, I've been a baseball fan. And I've learned wherever you live, support your local teams.
Yeah.
So in the Mariner fan group in the New York area, Yankee fan, moved to Southern California, became a Dodger fan. Oakland, California, I became an A's fan. And now I'm an Mariner fan.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And so is my wife, too. She's a big fan.
Sport.
Yep.
She likes it too. That's why you married her?
Yep.
That's
and we try to get to at least one of them a year.
Yeah, and being around kids all the time like that, too, is just, it's humbling, too. Keeps you humble.
Yep.
Oh, so, that's awesome. So, so how old were you when you guys got married, when you and Nancy got married?
We got married up here in the Seattle area. In fact, we were married civilly first because of my not being because of my background as a priest. But what I did was I got my got dispensed from my priestly vows, and then we had our marriage blessed at our church that we met at here in Seattle, Blessed Sacrament Church, by a priest who I knew, a Dominican priest that she and I both knew and loved. So we've been married now in the church to about 15 years, but legally we're now married since, in fact, it's coming up May 20th, 2005, 17 years.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yep.
Yeah, that I've wondered that. Because I know I've heard, I haven't ever really had a conversation with anybody or been friends with anybody who has left the priesthood, but I knew that it could be done. And heard about the people that had. But so you were later
and
on,
also,
you've been a priest for how long when you got married? How long had you already been a priest?
25 years.
25 years. Wow.
Also I knew members of my religious community that had been accused of abuse. And that unfortunately some of them were friends of mine too. So I have not only experienced being abused, but knowing abusers that who had accusations. And that in case that's brought up today, I do have that background too.
Yeah. Wow.
And I still, even though they had the accusations, I still cared for them.
Yeah. That had to have been hard.
Yeah.
If you're not
yes,
in a place that you, if you hadn't have gotten, and especially if you hadn't gotten any help with that, I mean, at what point were you able to get help for your experiences? Were you able to do that before you were able to counsel others?
Yeah.
Or did you
yes.
just kind of have to wing it? You did. Okay.
No.
Good.
I did it. I'll share it a couple of ways. One, when I was living in Southern California, and when I first was getting in touch with it, with what had happened to me, a friend of mine who was a religious nun, got me in contact with a therapist she knew, who was a former member of my religious community, a nun, and that Krista McNerney. And when I first met Krista, she asked me to just sort of role play what happened between me and my brother. And what she said to me afterwards, she clapped and said, "What a show you put on." But afterwards, we started to get into the issues. And we worked towards I made a decision with her, in my counseling with her, to confront my abuser, my brother, an older brother. And so what we did was I made an appointment with him. We were going to meet at a restaurant. But she and I sat down the session before and role-played it. And she nailed it. She nailed how he was going to react. So when I was going to meet him, I was hoping it would be something else. But I felt that with what we did, I was ready. I had my guns ready. So that I knew what I was going to do. And What also I went to my religious community to tell them, and I went to all my family members, tell them what I was going to do. And that, so they knew about it, because I knew if he wanted to, he could have sued me. But that didn't happen. So what was suggested by my religious community is, one, write out what you want to say, but do it three times. And that, this is what I would suggest to people with doing that, because this helped me. One, the first time, turn it all out. The second one was tone it down. The third one was the one I gave him. And what was interesting, when we met, he started sharing, because he has, and also, what also, when I found out with meeting my family, I found out that two others in my family were abused by him. My younger brother, John, and my younger sister, Teresa. And what I also found out the other day, he also abused his first wife. So he fits the abuser in just multiple. I don't know if there's any other stuff. What I also wanted to know is, isn't there an organization where you could put the person's name on it and that to tell about the abuse? And then find out if there were others. So that, but when I did it, and he said he didn't want to see any of his kids abused, I said, I have something to share with you. I gave him the paper. Mm-hmm. And his eyes exploded when I called him a rapist. And he said, he denied it. He said, we were kids. Nope. I was a teenager. He was a teenager. So that
knew better. Yeah,
and so
knew better.
When he taught me about it, I did what was suggested. I said goodbye and walked out. Took my own power. But I also made an arrangement with Krista that on that same day afterwards, I would have my session with her to sort of debrief. That's what also I would suggest to people, is have a good therapist who has a background in dealing with abuse issues. And that if you get the point of confronting your abuser, meet with your therapist that day afterwards to sort of debrief and let go of it.
Yeah. That's
and then since then, a few weeks later, I saw him. He said, do you still think I abused you? I said, yes. And that just a few months ago, he celebrated his 75th birthday. But his second wife did it on Zoom. And my sister Teresa and I were invited to go on the Zoom. And we got the impression afterwards, I talked to my sister, his second wife doesn't know about this. That's the impression we get. So I had thought about when he dies, maybe going to his funeral. I'm not so sure now because of what I saw that day. So that, because what he also did, he and his wife, they moved from Southern California to Chicago and then to North Carolina where they live now. Talk about avoidance and denial, and that magic word of denial. That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
They moved away. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think. This is his way of doing that magic word of denial.
If only we could get away from all those feelings of the abuse, you know, just go away.
Yep.
Just move away from it and not ever think about it. And that would be awesome.
Yep.
I'm sorry he didn't respond. I mean, you would think at the age that he's at, he would own up to what he did. You know, regardless of what age he was, unless he was three, you know, then he'd probably do better. Yeah. So,
and Kim, what I did this is not the first time I've shared my story. I found as a priest, I was stationed as an associate pastor at St. Dominic's in San Francisco. And also at the Catholic Newman Center at Arizona State University in Tempe. And I shared my story at both those places. But what I would do is then was I didn't wear my religious garments. I came like I am now in civvies. Because I told people, this is about me, not Father Bob, not but also to just share my story and what's happened since then. What also I did, I still was dealing with issues about it. And that I went not a leave of absence, but that I went to upstate New York to go to a program, and that I was still seeking counseling. She suggested you need to continue in counseling. I knew of an place in Emma Springs, New Mexico, which was for a priest who had been abusive. It was called Foundation House. And I asked, instead of where I was going to go, I asked to go there. I spent 6 months there the first time. And that was a turning point for me too, that program, because I was, and I learned to love New Mexico too, because where I would share what had happened to me and deal with my issues. In fact, when I left the Dominicans to come north here, I was asked by my religious my religious superior to take some time off. I wanted to go back there. He fought me on it, but I won. I went back there, and it had become a place for priests who had been abusers, so that I lived with them, met with them, and that heard their issues, so that was the other point. I met with people, with priests, who had been accusations, and I lived there for 2 months before I moved up here, and that was a good thing for me to do, because that place had changed my life too. That getting into healing and working with issues, in fact, my wife said before I came up, you need to take some time away. So that's where I went before I came up here. And a year after I moved up here, she and I were married.
No. Likes the long distance thing, huh? Or you made it work anyway, didn't you?
Yes.
That's sweet. And why did you move there?
It was a program for clergy who were going through issues, and that but the second time it had switched to clergy who had been abusers.
Oh.
So that I don't know if and it's out in the boonies of New Mexico. That it's about an hour's drive from Albuquerque, and if you want to check your spelling, spot your spell Albuquerque. But it is named after Albuquerque is named after the Duke of Albuquerque in Spain. But that I thought, what am I going to do in the boonies here? I found out I loved it. I started there. For the 6 months, the staff there from the religious community suggested we either try Tai Chi or do pottery. I thought I'd do Tai Chi I found out I loved doing panels. I found a creative side in me that I was unaware of or had denied. And so since then, I found what's important to me wherever I live, find a way to explore, to show my creativity, like doing this right now, sharing my story, because I've shared it and I find that it's not only good for me, but good for anyone who's listening, or also that you're not alone, and that I'm happy to, in fact, there's an organization in our church that I belong to, St. Vincent de Paul Society. I'm a spiritual director, advisor for our community at St. Luke's Parish in Shoreline, Washington. I share this with them on Monday. And I said, if you ever have someone that you're visiting, because we try to help people in need, if anyone shares and wants to talk to someone who's been through it, I'm available. And I would do it with one of them, one of the members of the community, especially if it's a woman who asked, I would ask that a woman go with me because of they may have issues with talking to someone who is a male. So that so it's changed my life, and it's helped me to be a better person. And that
I'm more interested in people.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Bob? We've got a couple other people on the panel now here besides Nancy. So I was wondering if we could bring Nancy on and see if she has any questions or anything for you. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Nancy, are you there?
Yes, good evening, good evening. Hi, Bob. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us this evening.
And then my wife's name is Nancy.
I heard. So it'll be easy for you to remember my name. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay. I do have a couple of questions.
Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, what were you going to say? I'm sorry. Say that first. What were you going to say?
I found out my stepmother's name was Ann, and I found Nancy is the version of Ann.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nancy's a virgin. It's a version of Anne. I'm gonna Google that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess you learn something new every day. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I do have a couple of questions. I wanted to know. Okay, so you were okay. I wasn't clear on your story, so I do have a couple of questions. Were you abused by your brother and clergy? Or your brother?
No, just brother. My older brother. But I've known clergy who were abused, who are abusive, but never abused by a clergy. I wouldn't allow it because of my experience. I would never. In fact, if anyone tried, I would report them.
Right. Okay. So because of your story. have you forgiven your brother? Excuse me. Have you forgiven your brother?
As much as I can. But I also realize there's a point where I can't go any further, that he has to come to me. He's never come to ask for forgiveness. He has to do something. And that right now I'm realizing it may never happen. So I move, say, by doing this, I'm moving on with my life. I realized what I had to do was do what I could as much as I can. And my family has known that. And my family and my wife know that too.
Use yourself and focus on your own healing so I can relate.
Yeah, focus on my own healing. This is part of my continuing to work in healing, of the healing memories. By making a step to move on, I'm a better person for it.
That's absolutely correct. You did mention that you would go to his funeral.
I may. We did They did a Zoom 75th birthday party. His present wife did. And that, so I'm questioning that right now, whether I go to his funeral.
Well, he only's a prophet.
It would be putting closure on it for me if I do.
Right. Okay. Well, healing's a process, you know. You got to be gentle with yourself and realistic.
Yeah.
And then the question is, what did you say?
What I was going to say is, being gentle with myself, one of the ways to do that is doing what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Sharing with you my family. Sharing memories, healing memories.
Right. Yeah, that's very healing. It helps me to heal, sharing and seeing other people's lives be changed, transformed when they come up to me and tell me, thank you for sharing. It really does heal me, so I agree with you.
Yes.
And one last question so that everybody else can get a turn. When did you decide to get help? What made you decide to get help, counseling and support?
This was way back in the 70s. It was suggested I get into therapy. And that that's when my friend Davida Schaefer suggested Christy McNerney because of the background that she had in dealing with something like this. And that but even after I finished with Krista, I had decided to take not leave of absence, but that go in. Take some time off to go to a program in upstate New York for that. But I found out I went to a counselor there, but that the counselor said you need to do some more work here, and that's when I went to Foundation House, which I knew about through the Dominicans. In New Mexico, when I spent the 6 months there, and that I'll take care of this guy. I'll take care. Okay. That's when I made that decision go there, and it was such a healing experience for me that before I moved up here, I wanted to go back there. And it touched my life and made a change.
Well, that's powerful. Thank you for sharing. Ms. Kim, I have Ms. Sharon on the line. I don't know if she wants to speak. She couldn't get on, so I called her on the three-way. I don't know if she'll like to share something or just listen. Either way is fine. Okay. Did you have any questions, Ms. Sharon?
No, I didn't, but I do want to know, how often do you meet? I have a childhood friend who just recently decided to tell her story about her abuse when she was younger. So I would love for her to come on and share her. So she hasn't shared it, like, nationally or in public yet, but she started telling people about it because it affected the rest of her life, the decisions that she made when she was younger. And so I would love for her to come on this forum and tell her story.
Yeah, I'll connect you with Bill. I'll connect you with Bill and Kim and everybody afterwards. So definitely you can be connected and have anyone who would like to share come on the show. We're always looking for people who are ready to share. Yes, ma'am.
And I'm going to be doing some work in the kitchen right here, so I'm going to put my phone down, but I've still got a speakerphone.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Sharon, do you have any other questions for Bob? Specifically, or about what you're saying?
No, I don't have any questions. I was listening, and I just want to give him a lot of kudos and respect for coming out with his story. And I just hope one day that he's able to confront his brother and have sort of a relationship with his family member. But I have never been abused, so I can't.
In fact, what I'll share with you is something that Krista said to me when I met afterwards. She said exactly that. Do you realize you were probably one of the few men who's done what I did? And she's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're proud of you.
Yes.
I'm proud of you, too.
You're doing awesome, Bob. And I heard one time that, just to kind of throw this out there, but, you know, we kind of feel when we start to tell our story, the insides of us.
We do.
Don't understand that this is just our story. You almost feel like you're back in it again. And so I understand that you are doing some job. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for trusting.
That's the importance of having a good therapist who has a background with people who are abused. So that Chris, again, I go back to Kristen. In fact, she helped me as I shared my story with her. And she helped me work through it, and also going to Foundation House and then spending 6 months there and then 2 months before I came here. That was important for me in my continued healing, but also sharing my story, sharing our stories. That's part of the healing for us, is that we're not keeping it and we're sharing it with others so that others who may have been through it can understand that they're not alone. In fact, I'll share it this way. I can't, because as a priest, because there's a, and I can't break the seal of confession. But I'll put it with, in counseling, when someone shares with me about that, I tell them my story so that it makes, it builds a bridge between me and them, that they know that they're not alone.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. Go ahead. It's okay. Wait a minute. I forgot what I was going to say. It's okay.
So while you're talking, I'm cleaning dishes.
Well, so
clean dinner dishes.
Are you getting them cleaned up? So your parents are no longer alive?
No. My parents are all deceased. I was my birth mother died when I was 4. My stepmother died. Oh God, when? Oh, they were sisters, in fact. I did her funeral as a priest.
Wow.
That, In fact, I have a funny story about that. My stepmother was known to be consistently late. And I kind of joked with her and said, basically, you'll be late for your own funeral. So I did her funeral. Believe it or not, it started 5 minutes late. So I said at the end of the mass, I said, Mom, I know we shared that with you, that you'd be late for your funeral, but I accidentally did it. You were late for your own funeral.
That's funny. That was funny. Well, that was nice of you. That was beautiful.
Yep.
Okay. So did they know, did any of your parents know what had happened to you before they passed?
No. Well, all the rest of my family didn't know. Because they know now.
So who in your family knew? I mean, I know you said something about, you know, that you had a video family birthday brother, and you said that his wife must not know. But you mentioned that to someone. Who else knows?
Yes, I did, to my sister.
Your
because
brother and
we
your
were
sister?
Both on the – my sister Teresa was one of his victims. That,
oh, wow.
Because it just – the way – the birthday party was, we just got that suspicion, but we don't know for certain. The only way I would be able to know it is if I would be able to share with her. This is his second wife. His first wife was one of his victims. And that, I don't know if she knows about me or Teresa or my brother John. So that's, but.
Now, when you say one of the victims, do you mean when she was younger or while he was married
that,
to her before she married? Was that
what,
when
can
she
you
was
repeat
younger?
That?
Was she a victim when she was younger? Or was
is
it
this my,
she was a victim?
My sister or his ex-wife?
His ex-wife.
Yes. I don't know because I just know that he was abusive to her and she divorced him and that he got remarried. Okay. I don't know if the present wife knows about it.
Okay. Yeah. Or if he's really abusive to her. I mean, you would.
Because, like I said, they conveniently, after I confronted him, moved to Chicago and then to North Carolina. So that was his way of dealing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll make it all go away. Now, he had his as well. Did you mean in this that he told his family what had happened? Or you told your family what
had
happened?
Can you repeat that again?
On your little biography that you sent in, it said he also told his whole family. So are you talking about you or are you talking about your brother?
I told my family.
You told
I told my family. I went to each of them individually before I was going to meet him.
Okay.
And I let him know when I met him that they all knew about it.
No. Now, did he have children, though, with anybody?
Well,
did your brother have children with anybody? Yeah. You know?
He does have children from the first marriage. I don't know if they know about it, or because they live in the Midwest, so that I don't know if they know about it or if he did anything to them. But if they were to tell me, I would share my story that they were not alone.
Yeah.
So true. You know, a lot of times when we share our story with family members or with people around us, it does open up that door for others to share.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you go through abuse, your abusers tell you not to share. They tell you not to tell.
Yeah. Oh,
sometimes
did.
They threaten you. He threatened
he
you or he told you not to tell or both.
I put it this way. It's continuing the lie.
Right.
He did tell me that. I would say.
What did he tell you?
I would say to the person, sure, tell it. Otherwise, he's going this way because if you don't tell, he could continue, that person can continue the behavior. That gives them permission to do it to others.
Right. Definitely. When you don't tell, they get more comfortable, they get more cocky, they feel like, oh, wow, this is working. Because that's really a mental illness. It's a mental illness. And a lot of the people who have been, who are abusers, some of them have been abused, okay? Or some of them, because a lot of times you don't know the history that they've been abused.
I
like
don't
my
know
abuser
the history.
Was abused. Yeah.
Yes.
My abuser was abused by his father, and a lot of times these abusers.
And I don't know if he would. Right. He would have to tell me that. He never told me that, so I don't know if he was abused.
We don't know what demons he's fighting. We don't know what demons he's fighting.
Yeah.
Right. Well.
Yeah.
Don't tell.
Yeah.
Were you ever threatened that if you told, or just told not to tell?
Just told not to tell.
Okay. Yep. That's the main thing. Okay.
Well, what he do? Where we lived in Jersey City, New Jersey, we had a three-story apartment building that my family owned. He would take me down. We would go downstairs into the basement where Dad or our father had built a room for us to study in. Well, he made sure I was teetered against the wall. And then also there was an office at the at the bottom of the first floor of the building that used to be run have an insurance company there. When they moved out, my brother moved me up there with him, and again he set put me in the back so that I could get out. And that's where the things happened. And again, he did tell me, don't tell anyone.
Okay, so and he put you in the back of where?
He put me in the back of the rooms so that I couldn't get out of the rooms without going by him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you younger than him?
Nope, he's 3 years older than me.
Wow.
He knew better, and all that you knew about was just your brother and your one brother and your sister who were abused by him, but you don't know because, I mean, why would he stop?
It's more and more.
And after me, he went after my younger brother and then my younger sister. And they have revealed that to me. Plus, also, I know about the abuse he did to his first wife. So there's at least three others.
That you know about.
That I know about.
How old were you? Like, how old were you when you were first?
I'd say like 13, 14 years old. He was 15, 16. Because he's three, well, he was maybe 3 years older than me.
Wow. Would it be too much if I asked you what type of abuse it was?
Sexual.
Sexual? Okay. Yeah, thank you for sharing, Bob. We really appreciate you sharing this because
I'm glad
you're helping. Yeah, you're helping to heal someone. We're sexual abuse survivors, childhood sexual abuse survivors ourselves.
And I've joined the I've joined the organization now.
I'm sorry?
When you found out about this.
Mm-hmm. And we find it helpful to hear each other's stories. And that's one thing I love about NASA is that this is a community and it's a tribe and you're not alone. You're with people who have been where you've been, and we understand the journey. Not only do we understand the journey, we're holding your hand while you're sharing the story. Because the more you share the story, the more you open up about the story, and you go deeper and then you get stronger sharing the story. It's a process, a journey. Yeah. It's a healing journey.
Now I got in contact with you. I am on LinkedIn, and I found two people, Bill and also another one who I'm going to be interviewing with tomorrow to share the story. So I just happened to find, so I'm now connected with them both on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And that's where I found out about the organization.
Yeah. Are you on Facebook? We need to find you on Facebook, Bob.
No, I'm not on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay. We'll
Facebook,
look for you on LinkedIn.
Yep.
You said you don't do Facebook?
No.
Okay. Have you written any books or have you?
I did Barbara Babcock's book because I met her on LinkedIn and that's about her being abused by her youth pastor. So that I don't have the book with me right now. I forget what it is. It's excellent. And that... I got in touch with Barbara on LinkedIn. Have I written a book?
Mm-hmm.
I've read her book. For that. And I will be speaking with Barbara tomorrow. Same thing as here.
What's the name of your book?
I don't have a book myself. I'm not a writer.
Oh,
what I did was being a member of the Order of Preachers, I preached about what happened to me. So, but I'm not a writer.
Okay.
I've
That's
also
awesome.
Wondered.
I'm glad. You wonder what?
How churches feel about that.
I do things like this. I'll tell my story, person to person.
Right. Well, we're walking books, so it's okay. It's okay. We're walking books. You're walking, talking, preaching book, and you're very well appreciated because, again, you're helping to heal people and you're helping to stop and prevent suicide. Suicide is preventable, but people feel alone. They don't know that other people have been through it who look like them and who one of the great things about sharing our story is when we get to the other side of the abuse, when we get to the other side, we're overcoming and we're showing, hey, you don't only, you know, it's not just trauma. There's another side to this and you can thrive. It's a process. Be gentle with yourself, but you can thrive. Yeah. It's a process.
And there are people who are, and there are people who are willing to listen and share with you who've been through it.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, you're amazing.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Takes one to know one, Barbara.
Right. Amen. And I really hope, I hope that people can draw from your strength. Seriously.
Yep. They have. They have.
Yeah, they are.
The one
who's famous.
Right there, who I get strength from is that beautiful lady in my life who has the name of Nancy.
Mrs. Nancy. Uh-oh. I love Nancy already.
Yes.
Of course she's so sweet. You know what Nancy means, Bob?
What's that? Repeat that.
You know what the name Nancy means?
What does Nancy mean?
It means grace. Grace.
Grace. You both have it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You too.
Sometimes I drop her right at the wall. But I am graced, I am gifted by having her and my friends, all of our family in my life.
Oh.
And I've said that to you.
That's a blessing.
The greatest gift God has ever given me is her and our grandkids.
Oh, yeah. Same grace. I pray for that same feeling. That's beautiful. How long have you guys been married? You said 17 years? Really? 17 years.
17 years and May 20th.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Yep.
So were her kids younger when you got married?
What's
or were
that?
They older, teenagers? Her kids, how old were they when you got married?
They're not her kids. They're her adopted daughter's kids. And that's, the oldest is now 21. Her adopted daughter is 19. Her adopted daughter's daughter was adopted. She's 19 now. The two youngest, one, his name is Robert. He'll be 15 in the end of June, and the youngest, Taylor, is now 13.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I think Ms. Sharon had a question.
When in your relationship did you tell me about your abuse?
What was that? Again?
At what point did you feel comfortable enough to tell Nancy, your wife, about your abuse?
Right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning. That I can't share about her because of her background with it. But that, I felt it was important for me to share with her about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that she knows about it, and she's known about it for years. She knows that I'm doing this today and tomorrow as well. So she and the grandkids are the greatest gift God has given me.
Supporting.
And that, I had a friend of mine, Don Callahan, who's now with God. He used to call me a saint. He said, Nancy has told me, no, you're no saint. But she is. because she puts up with me every day.
Yeah.
Oh, keep supportive. Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes, like you said, you know, I'm glad you did share with her what you went through, because just like you said earlier, that you don't believe that your brother ever told his new wife, maybe, we don't know, right? I'm sure he probably didn't, but, you know, he hasn't probably told her and opened up. And what happens, and I'm going to say that because my abuser, he would be with different women later on, and he never would tell them. But I know one time, you know, I met one of his girlfriends, and I told her, because she has small kids. And I said, you know, I have to tell her because I felt so bad. You know, he has a great personality. He's so funny. He's so friendly. And she, you know, and he easily gets right into families. It's very easy because he's a charmer. And so I couldn't take it. I was around them, and I noticed all these children and him being unsupervised because they did not know. And I let the girlfriend know. I took her aside and I told her. And then shortly after, they broke up. But, I mean, I don't think it's fair. I wouldn't want to be with someone that I didn't know what was going on. I shared about my abuse with my husband, and I think that that's, like, that's important. You know, you give people the choice to see if that's something that they want to deal with, because it is a healing process and journey. And also, you know, it's their right to know. You don't want to sidetrack somebody, surprise them with something like that.
But I don't see it in my role, especially since they're 3,000 miles away, that I'm not there for revenge. She were to say to me about this, if she were to come to me or talk to me about it, I would share it. But because I don't know her at all, that if a situation came up and came about where she wanted information, I would.
Right. He has a different situation, and he's older, and hopefully he's in a better place. That's all we could hope for.
Yeah.
We pray for his healing. Your prayers. And one of the reasons why the enemy loves to divide and break up families is because there's power in your prayer. When you're a praying parent or a praying sibling or a praying grandchild or praying anything that has to do with connected in real life blood, you have so much more power to pray for him than anybody else. And the enemy doesn't want you to pray for him.
Yeah.
And so he creates these divisions and these attacks. And again, he obviously definitely was dealing with some form of mental illness. But you're praying for your brother's deliverance and his healing and his freedom and continue releasing him. You're doing a wonderful job.
Would you like to do that with me right now? Would you lead the prayer?
Sir. Yes, I will. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just want to thank you, God, for Bob, God. We thank you for everyone on this call, Lord. We just want to thank you, God, for healing and restoration, God. We pray for peace, God, and we pray for release, God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you will give us strength to heal, God, that you will give us peace in our minds, God. We lift up Bob and his family, God, and we break every yoke over his family, God, every demonic attack, God. We rebuke it and we send it back to the pits of hell, God. We pray for Bob's brother, God. We pray for his healing, his deliverance, God, and we pray that you cover him and give him just complete restoration and healing, God, that he will never, ever hurt anybody else again, God. And we just thank you, God, for deliverance. We know that with you, everything is possible. Healing is possible. Peace is possible. Freedom is possible, God. And right now, we just thank you, God, for the peace that surpasses all human understanding in the middle of the storm where we cannot even understand where the peace is coming from, God. We rest in your peace, and we trust in you, God. And we know that healing is possible with you, God. And we just pray that you will cover everybody on this call with love, healing, and peace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Let the people say amen.
Amen and amen. We pray for that freedom.
Yeah.
We pray for that release because the enemy loves to keep us in bondage, because he knows that when we're in bondage, we will not open our mouth. he knows that when we're in bondage, we will not open our mouth. And when we're in bondage, deliverance is not possible. And so we just pray for that release of the bondages and the soul ties and all the blocks, everything that's blocking us. We just pray for complete freedom. We pray for that rock to be removed from our heart, so that we can minister and we can help people and be really used the way that God wants to use us.
And
fully.
God bless you, minister.
Fully.
Amen.
Amen.
And I've got to get back to work here, okay? So that,
I appreciate you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Love you all too.
Yeah, you know, I think that there is a part of us that needs that. Yes, that release of them saying, you know, that they're sorry. And I think that that's just normal reaction. Does God want us to forgive them anyway? Yes, but then again, you know, it is hard. And I never thought I forgave one of my abusers, my stepdad, and I never thought he could come to the point of giving himself to the Lord. I never thought it. And then he showed up at church one day. And it was after my mom's house already.
And if he were to do it, I would forgive him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, where I was at, too. I was like, okay, God, I've got to walk through this with him because you brought him to this point.
And look what it's done for us.
Yeah.
This is the minister himself to reaching out to people who have been abused or sharing their story, or sharing your story with them. That's a ministry. So thank
right.
you for what you do. God bless you. But yeah.
Right.
And so God is using that to reach out to others.
Right. He's using your story for his glory, Bob. Kim, I'm glad you said that about Amen. I'm glad that you said that about forgiving your abuser, because I forgave my abuser at the altar. He got invited to church, and I didn't know he was going to be there that day. My grandmother had invited him. He walked to the altar, and me and a few people in the church, including my grandmother, went up to him, and we laid hands on him and forgave him at the altar and prayed over him. And that's
Amen.
Where I really let him go, at the altar. Okay? So that is powerful. And God is a healer. He will do it.
Yes. Did he ever ask for forgiveness from you?
Yes. As an adult, because I counseled him a few times to deal, like dealing with some other personal issues he was dealing with. And, you know, I let him know how he hurt me. And I sat down with him, and I was an adult, and I just kind of told him about it. And then, you know, he did apologize and say sorry. That was later on in my adult years, after my children. But I had already released him, you know. But it was good to talk to him. And I'm glad that you got to confront your abuser, because it's healing.
One step led to another for you. Yeah. If he were to ask for forgiveness, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show that remorseful in it. And you know that because there's other people, it's gone a long way. And my dad not only apologized to me, but he apologized too, because he also abused a couple of his siblings.
Yeah.
And he apologized to them. And this was after my mom had passed away. See, I don't know that he would have gotten to that point. Because my mom 6 months before she died, she went to the church. She started working at her church, and that's where she eventually ended up passing away, is at church when she was working.
Oh, wow.
And so she was getting to the point, and I never had the conversation with her, you know, because she did enable him a lot. And at one point, when I had told her, I was 15 years old, and I told her that my dad had abused me, she told me that it happens. It just happens. Because she had come from that as well. And unfortunately, she had not gotten healing enough to understand that you don't just say that to your daughter. You don't just say it's going to just happen.
So
But she had come to the Lord right before she passed away. And so I was able to forgive her, even though we never, you know, she never apologized to me. But I'm able to forgive her, even though I never had that chance, because I knew that she was remorseful. From the way that her life was going when she passed away, I knew it was just a matter of time that God would probably bother us together, and we probably should have done it earlier, you know. But you just never know. So you never know. Watch what God could do. And I'm sure that, I guess I'm not sure, but I wonder if anybody has ever prayed on this before. Because I think it felt really powerful, Nancy, and thank you for doing that, too. And it's something that we shouldn't feel strange about, you know, about doing to ourselves, because God is in all of this. So,
everyone here, please keep me in your prayers. Today I took a COVID test and it came back positive, so I'm doing a lot of virtual stuff and resting and trying to recover at home. So you guys keep me in your prayers for healing and restoration for my body as well.
And I'm on one notify, and I got a notification that I had contact with someone who had positive, but I was reminded by my wife, that means just you're in contact with someone. You may not have it, but given about 2 weeks to find out whether something needs to be done. So that, but that's still, take care of yourself and get tested.
Yeah. Yes, I'm resting. Yeah. Thank you so much.
The first time you've gotten it, Nancy?
Yeah, this is the first time I had my vaccine and my vaccines and my booster and stuff. But,
right.
Yeah. Well, I had the first and second shots. Like, I don't know if the second one was. Lord, maybe I didn't
get the booster.
What did I have?
Get the booster.
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to go get that booster. I just thought the second one was probably the booster. The Lord help me. Well, I will be getting the booster. Okay, well, I will be double checking on that. Definitely.
So how late are you working, Bob, tonight? How late are you going to stay with that couple?
Well, I'm actually supposed to be off right now, but what I'll do is I will call in to let them know that I let my supervisor know that I was doing this today and tomorrow, so that what I'll do is, if need be, I will call in, have them clock me out at 6 o'clock. Our time.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, because, I lived up in Washington for a little while. I lived in Vancouver, a teenager.
Yeah, that's the southern end of the state. Shoreline is just a little bit above Seattle.
I have a nephew up there in Seattle, too. I think he's here.
Yes.
He's in town right now. He's in Colorado. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm from, in Colorado.
We moved to our present home in April 2005, and we have these beautiful pine trees all around our property. So we have Christmas every day, and that especially when the winter comes and we have snow, they're gorgeous. We're filled with snow.
I love that. I love the look.
Both
of
my wife and I have said we've been now there 18 years as of April. This is the longest each of us have lived in any place in our lives.
Wow. Oh, is that good?
Yeah, and it's our forever home. So you can come and visit us.
Who can come? Could we come? Right. Once I get better.
Tell me, Bob, what else is coming up for you in the near future? What else have you got going?
Tomorrow night I'm giving the same talk to Barbara Babcock, who's also I met on LinkedIn. and that so she's gonna we're gonna do another another talk like this tomorrow night, and then who knows what happens, what's coming up in the near future. That each day is so different, and that we and also my wife used to be a volunteer at the Shoreline at the Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle. We have a dog, two cats, two bearded dragons, plus also two guinea pigs, and we also have other animals that we bird out in front. I call our house the Shoreline Zoo.
Oh, do you? You like the zoo, you said. You said you're like the zoo?
No, I call our house the Shoreline Zoo. Because of all the pets we have, both living and deceased on our property.
Well, that's awesome, though. You just like animals. I'll bet the grandkids like those.
Yep.
Like to have them around when they were around.
And also, if you come to our house during the summer, go to our backyard, you'll find rabbits.
Yeah.
They run through our backyard.
That's
and I
awesome.
Have fun because
I have
when I went to high school in San Bernardino, California, went to a vet. I wore the cap for it yesterday. I went to Aquinas High School. And one of my classmates lovingly gave me a nickname. I'm the rabbit. So that when I see the rabbits outside, I say, oh, the rabbits are here.
We have them too, but we don't have any other animals. So that's why I think they come in our yard is because we don't have animals back there. But we probably don't have as much length as maybe you have, but my my daughter had her and her husband a couple of years ago moved about an hour and 15 minutes away from me, which is about as far as I want them to move. But I love to go out there. They've got 10 anchors, and they've got three horses, and one of them's a mini. And it's just so tranquil and peaceful out there. It's just, I just love to go out there and just spend the weekend with them, with all the animals and the grandkids.
I love to see. I love the winters here because the snow and the trees. Granted, with our grandkids, if they're out there throwing snowballs, I'm out there with them. My family in Southern California have said to me, you're still a big kid. Because I joined them in having a snowball fight.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Why not? I mean, they've only really known you as the grandpa. I mean, like from age they are.
Yeah.
So you're the only grandpa they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that job, too. I used to say that you should do that first anyway. So you kind of did that. You kind of just became a grandpa. You didn't even have to be a dad. You didn't have to do the hard part. You got the fun part.
Well,
that's awesome.
That's how grandpas do, too. Have fun with their kids. Great kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're the best. Yeah, they're the best. I love it. So what do you want to do? You just want to keep ministering to people, right? Is that just kind of what you're planning on?
Either way, I've been a caregiver for decades, as both as a priest, as a chaplain. Also, now I have a wonderful couple that I've been working with for the last 2 years at their home right now. Not only have I've been their caregiver, we've become friends. So that that's the sort of relationship I have with them. So that and I can't think of anything else more to say.
We got 10 minutes. We're trying to fill it up.
Yep.
Hey, was it Sharon? Is that how you say your name, Sharon?
Yes, Sharon.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you would like to say to Bob before we are done?
No,
here?
I just want to tell Bob. Thank you for telling your story because I know that I volunteer at Youth Pride, and guys don't talk much. They don't care. They suffer in silence. So I applaud you, and I thank you for telling your story. And like Nancy said, your story is going to help so many people.
Yes. And also, if you have other people who wanted to talk to someone like me, they can get in contact with me.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get that information. I'm sure Bill has that information. So you can tell him. You can let Bill know that you're willing to share that, and he could maybe put it on
Bill
to your. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Bob. We just appreciate you being on with us and all that you've shared. You take care.
Can I
look forward to hearing from you for part of NASCAR.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Can I ask you a quick question, Bob? Something I just thought about. When did you start having a...
Hello? I think I lost you.
Oh, I think
I lost you. There we go. There we go.
Could you hear me?
What was your question?
Okay. The question...
What was your...
Uh-oh. Just get this relationship with God. Like, who introduced you to God? Like, where did this relationship develop?
Who introduced me to what?
To God. Where did you get this relationship with God from?
From my youth.
Going to church.
I'm Catholic since birth, and I had. First of all, it was an aunt of mine who was sister to both of my mothers. And when she died, my stepmother saw it was her responsibility to raise us in the faith. So it was my mom, my stepmother, from what I know of my birth mother, she was also, but that I was only 4 years old, like I said, when she died. But it was my Aunt Betty and the model she gave to us and my stepmother. Mm-hmm. And I don't call her stepmother, I call her mom. Both of them have been mom to me. So that she saw it was important for her to set the model for us. My dad was a Jersey Italian, a male. Didn't go to church that much. But that, he loved us. And my dad and I were very close still. And I remember the day when he and my stepmother came north to Oakland, and I met them at the airport wearing the Roman collar. And she said how proud and choked up he was to see me wearing that.
I know. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. And then my last question was, have you ever been angry with God? Like, did you ever go through a stage where you were angry or felt just abandoned by God or anything like that?
Yeah. There have been times. I can't remember any specific. But that, I think that's normal, though, too. It's okay to be angry with God.
Yeah.
That He does understand.
Mm-hmm.
He does understand.
Yes, he does.
That it wouldn't be normal if he didn't feel angry at times because of things that have happened. When maybe I've deaths of family members in my life where I was wondering why it happened. But that's normal. If you don't feel that way, there's something wrong because I think I would say that the person, is it okay to feel angry with God? And I would might share maybe an instance in my life where I did feel angry because maybe, for example, when I got in touch with the abuse from my brother, and that also when my dad died while driving north to Oakland with my family and died on the side of I-5. I got the shock of a call that he had died on the freeway, and that a friend of mine and I drove down to pick them up, and we went down south from there, because my dad and I were very close. So that, there are instances, yes, it's okay to question God and ask, why did this happen? So that, that's the best answer I can give. If we didn't feel that, we didn't get angry at times, that would not be normal. That would not
right.
be normal.
Right, we're human. Yeah, he gave us
yes, we are human, and it's a process, right? Healing is a journey. And definitely I can relate to that. I've been angry with God quite a couple of few times, and a lot of people who have like really big ministries on their line, mm-hmm. they have really huge trauma stories. Like you said, losing your mother yeah. at 4 years old, that's an early trauma, and life yeah. as you knew it at that time, mm-hmm. It changes forever. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for sharing with us tonight. I mean, I'm full, you filled me.
And also,
really, really.
One time I had a vision of my birth mother many years later where I expressed my anger to her about her leaving me. And she said to me, I've never abandoned you. And I've been healed in that relationship since then. And that, and I've shared that a couple of weeks ago when I was down south with my family. I share that with one of my sisters, because my older sisters, and that I felt a healing in my relationship with her.
Yeah.
So that she's never abandoned us. That she's with us.
And she's proud of you for all that you're doing now. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and again, Bobby, just thank you for being so open and
yes.
and honest and sharing
yep.
with us and
yep.
sharing your heart too. And
so
now you're
and
you
I'm
know,
like
you're
that's awesome.
Member. Yeah, you're an NASCA
yeah.
member, so
yep.
you know, anytime you want to come on and tell your story again, we would love to have you. If there's you
yes,
know,
I will let you know.
You just let
yep.
us know. And yeah, and go ahead.
Thank
and
you
okay.
everyone for being
on. Fill a ring or whatever.
Well, anytime you need someone, let me know.
Well, you know, you could come on just like Nancy and Sharon.
Sharon, yes.
You could just come on and listen if there's ever a night you want to
yeah.
pop on here and just listen
okay.
with everybody in or
okay.
be a part of the panel. So we would love to have you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you
yeah,
take
well,
care.
Thank you. Yes. Thank
and we you. Just appreciate you so much. Thanks, Bob. Well,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you very
that
much.
That was an awesome show. And we just can't thank Bob enough for being so open and sharing his heart with us. We know that it's not always easy to do that. And thank you to Nancy for that beautiful prayer. I should love that. That was so awesome. And,
yeah.
I love it when people want to pray in public. I just say, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're getting
and Nancy,
ready.
What does Nancy mean again? What does Nancy,
so Nancy
mean again?
Nancy means grace.
Great. I'll tell my wife
grace.
That.
Tell your wife.
Yeah.
Because
your
she,
safe,
because
your
she
grace,
is.
Your baby grace.
Yes. Yes.
And remember,
and
it's a version of Anne.
It's a version of
yeah.
Anne. I know. I'm gonna do some little research on that one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Every
yep.
day you
I
learn something
okay.
new. Anne.
And my wife told
oh,
me that.
Tim, Nancy. So it translates.
Yeah.
Kim, your name translates to Kim Nancy.
To Kim Nancy.
Yeah. Well, you learn something new every day. Thank you, Bob, for sharing and
I just did
opening
too.
Up.
Yeah.
Right. Have a great
God
time,
bless you
everyone.
All.
Yeah, bless you too. We look forward to talking to you again sometime. And just remember, everyone, if you see something say something. We're all in this together, and we all are fighting for our children and for their futures. So have a great evening, everyone. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Gone with